Hey, good morning, church. How are we doing today?
Thank you.
Everybody doing all right? It has been a crazy week, hasn't it? National champions. Right? NFL playoffs, crazy. If you didn't know, we've had two new babies join our family this week. Very, very exciting. But this weather, holy cow. I had to go to the dump on Monday, and that was the day the high was 4 degrees, right? And I had a big dump trailer, thankfully, for the Engans, and raised the dump trailer up, and it was frozen. It was frozen. It's been nuts. It's been absolutely nuts. I'm excited about 34 degrees today, right? And it's been crazy. It has been wild. I mean, for the kids that had school, it's like, do you have school? Do you don't have school? Do you have school? Do you don't have school? My daughter, her both kids go to school. She's like, we need to have school, right? We need the kids to go back, and we need to get back to normalcy for sure. And it was kind of weird because I never thought at 55 I'd care if school happened or not. But I really wanted school to happen this week. I really did. Here's why. I'm the Uber driver for my granddaughter, Gwen. She's five, or getting ready to turn five. And I get to take her on Tuesdays. So my daughter drops her off at our house at 8 a.m., and we get to spend about 45 minutes together. Usually it's eating Cheerios or reading books or whatever, and then at 8:45 we load up into the Gray Ghost, that's my little car, and I take her the five-minute drive to school. But over Christmas, and then you add to it the cancellations due to weather, and I was missing that. I was missing that time with her. And it's been such a blessing. I'll admit, when my daughter first talked to me about it, I was a little hesitant to commit to that, right? Every week, every Tuesday. But since I'm retired now, my schedule is very flexible, and it seems like I'm the go-to guy. And I'm like, you know what? This could really be a blessing. And it absolutely has been. In fact, I'm really excited because this week I get to start taking her Tuesdays and Thursdays because her dad's starting a new job. And it was interesting because my daughter Faith was talking to her and said, hey, just so you know, this week Poppy's going to start driving you to school 2 days a week. And you know what her response was? I wish Poppy could drive me to school forever. And I'm like, yes. Because I feel the same way. It's weird. You wouldn't think 45 minutes would be that big a deal. But 45 minutes every day, especially just her and I, occasionally I let our Jeej participate. But, I mean, it's interesting how it's developed our relationship, just the two of us, over this year and allowed us to just enjoy each other even more. Isn't that neat how relationships work, right? Especially with those you really, truly love. When you get to spend time with them, what do you want? You want more time. You want to understand what's going on in their lives. You want to hear about what's happening. Well, today we're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about one in particular, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, right? And it's going to be a cool opportunity for all of us, a good reminder of the importance of it, and just an opportunity to hear what His Word says about having a relationship with God. So if you wouldn't mind, just bowing with me before we start so we can make sure our hearts and minds are stilled and listening to what He has to say. So if you'd pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank You. I thank You for the way You work in our lives, the way You bless us with relationships all around us, for the way You care about the ins and outs of our daily life, Lord. This morning, Father, I just pray that we can discern from Your Word everything that You would have us discern for this day. Your Word is just packed with so much blessing. And I just pray that You can use me, use my words, Lord, today to be able to share what You've shared with me over the last few weeks. So guide my lips, guide our conversation. In Your Son's beautiful name we pray. Amen. Okay, so today we are finishing up. We're finishing up our four-week series on Church Unique, where we've gone through a few of our core values. Paul's covered two of the six of them so far. He covered kingdom building and biblical authority. And today we'll complete our series as we walk through what it means to have that intimate personal relationship with God. Now, if you remember when Paul started, he kind of defined for us what a core value is. And if you think about it, it's in its name, right? It's a value that is at the core of what we believe. It's in our heart. It's in our deepest wants in life. As a church, it's what defines us. It's what we value and what should drive our focus and our energy, right? In everything that we do. Now remember, when we say they're New Life's core values, the church's core values, we're not talking about the organization. We're talking about us. You look around this room, this is the church. Whether we're meeting here, in a different location, wherever we're at, we are his church. Now, as we're discussing New Life's core values, we're also stating that as members, there are core values. As individual followers of Christ, these core values should resonate deeply. They should resonate in what we believe and what we do, not because they're New Life's core values, but much more importantly, because they are based on solid biblical doctrine. They're supported through various scriptures throughout the Bible. So this week, as I wrap things up, we're going to talk about what, in my opinion, is probably the greatest foundational core value to all of our others, that being intimacy with God. Now, to start with, I want to read for you what our core value actually says so you can understand where we're going today as we dig into his scripture. Now, you can find this on our website, but if you wouldn't mind looking at the screen, I'll read it to you. It says, "We are deeply committed to growing in intimacy with God, prayerfully seeking his empowerment and direction to become more like Christ, reflecting his character and priorities." There's a lot there, right? It's short, but it's packed with information. So I want to go this morning and take this value apart piece by piece. Now, I do want to begin with what may seem simple, but it's very important to state, okay? This core value itself is not scripture. It does not hold the same authority. But its sole purpose is supported, really it's commanded by scripture. That's why we as a church take it so seriously. Now, as I have already mentioned, having an intimate personal relationship with God is foundational to each of the core values that we have. Each of our core values is relationship driven, and any of them revolve around the necessary aspect of being in relationship with our personal Creator. This is what he desires from us, and is all about bringing glory to him, our Father in heaven. So let's start by looking back at the opening line. It says, "We are deeply committed to growing in intimacy with God." It starts with what? A relationship. A relationship with God, our Father in heaven, our Creator. Seems pretty simple, right? Just be in relationship with him. But what does it really look like? How do you make this happen? Because here's the truth with any relationship. They can be hard, right? They can be messy. But they're also beautiful. They can be fun. They're sought after. And they're important to our daily lives. And if you think about it, even the most deepest introvert requires to be in relationship with other people. Relationships need to be part of our daily lives. So what does it look like to have a relationship with God, to have intimacy with him? Now today, if you go through his word, there's multitude of scripture that you could use to guide this study. But as I was preparing, I felt like God was leading me to John chapter 15. So if you want to open our Bibles to this scripture, I want to provide some context, though, before we get started about what we're the context of these verses and how they play out throughout the book of John. You see, Jesus is sharing these words. He's speaking to his disciples, and it's during the Last Supper. He's just finished washing their feet, and Judas has just departed to go to the Jewish authorities to set up for the arrest of Jesus. Jesus is providing some final instructions, if you will, to his disciples before he goes to the cross. Now, one thing we got to remember, the disciples did not fully grasp what Jesus was talking about in the moment. really wouldn't be until they see the risen Savior to fully understand what was going on, what Jesus was talking about. But thankfully, we have the benefit of hindsight, right? We also have the benefit of the entire scripture to guide us in understanding what is going on. So let's go to John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And I'll read it through here. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be his disciple, or to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Now, there's a lot there. There is a lot to unpack. We're not going to cover every aspect, but we'll cover a good portion of it this morning. Now, to begin with, I want to cover what the word abide means. It's used 10 different times in this scripture, right? And in 11 verses, so it's pretty important. I want to ask you, how often do you use the word abide? Not very, right? We don't necessarily abide in our friends. Don't abide in our presidents. We don't even abide in our spouses, right? But Jesus is using it here for an important point. You see, it's a pretty strong word. It means to remain, to stay, or reside. Much stronger than other words that we use today when we talk about relationships, right? We talk about liking someone or hanging out with them. The new term nowadays in a relationship is you're talking with someone. Even the word love, right? You think about how the word love is thrown around. Society's definition of love is more fleeting than ever. It's an emotion that comes and goes with the days. Now, when Jesus used the word abide in speaking to his disciple, he's being intentional. In the original Greek translation, it was written as the word meno, which, as I said, means to remain, stay, or reside in. It has a sense of permanence. When we think about that, what does permanence mean? Especially when it comes to relationships. It also means you're going to need perseverance, right? When Jesus is talking about this, what he's saying is it's not a relationship where you can cut and run when things get hard. There's a much deeper connection here that is required, one that the disciples will only begin to appreciate after they see the risen Savior. You know, as a young Christian, I know I did not fully understand what it meant to have an intimate relationship with God. In many ways, it's not unlike my relationship with Amy, my wife, when I got married and what we were signing up for. I knew that I loved her. I knew I wanted to be with her. But I did not grasp the connection I would have with her as I continued to share my life with her. You know, a thing like any relationship, though, our relationship has taken a lot of work, a lot of trust and patience on both of our parts. We both have to be intentional in pursuing a relationship with one another. It can't be just one of us. Now, just like my relationship with Amy, my life with Christ has grown and deepened over the years. But it's only been through effort and intentionality and the blessing of the Holy Spirit in me. When I look at the world today and see how people characterize a relationship with God, I think they often miss out. I think they view God like a far distant leader. Think of like a president or a king. I'm not talking about true Christians, but those who are lukewarm or those who really just don't want a relationship with God because they see no point. I think they view God as someone who you may know of, but not truly have a relationship with. Think of it this way. Think of our president, our previous presidents. You know, we may know some of their secrets, right? Because they're all over the press. But we don't have a true relationship with them. You may know that Joe Biden likes ice cream. Or that Donald Trump likes to play golf. But what you don't know is truly their heart's fears, their desires. You don't go to them personally when you have a concern or an issue. You don't call them directly when you have a bad day, right? And they definitely don't care about the details of your life. Don't you think that in today's world, all too often, people view God in the same way? That you cannot have a personal, close relationship with Him? They view God as someone distant who can be known of, but not truly known by. But that's not the relationship we're called to. We're called to such a higher form of relationship with our Creator. We are encouraged, even commanded in a loving way, to have a relationship with Him. Now let's go back to the book of John as Jesus is explaining to his disciples what a relationship with God truly looks like. In verse 4, it says this, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Just as a branch of a vine cannot live on its own without being connected to the main vine, we must stay connected to our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to notice something here as Jesus is speaking. He's referring to them as individuals, not as a group. He uses the singular, not the plural. In verse 5, he says, "He it is." He didn't say, "they that are." He's talking to them as individual followers of him. This is something personal that he's encouraging them to do. And the truth is, the same applies to us. Being in relationship with God is an individual endeavor. While the church is a living entity, the church can't do it for you. The church, the organization, can provide tools or resources to help you in your relationship with God, but they cannot do it on your behalf. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Just like any other relationship, it has to be an individual effort on your part to pursue a relationship with God. I mean, I think about how I got introduced to Amy and actually went out on our first date. My best friend helped me do that. But ultimately, it was up to me, right? Like any relationship, others can introduce you to God. They may even help you with an initial conversation and praying to Him. But ultimately, it's up to you. And another very important point when it comes to this relationship in particular, but really in any relationship, you're never going to arrive. You're never going to get to a point where you can just coast as a Christian. Think of it this way. Do you have friends in your life that are easy? Ones that you like to just hang out with, maybe enjoy a game together, watch a movie? They're just that easy, right? There's no expectations, no guilt trips, no tension. Well, this is not the type of relationship we're being called to with God. He's calling us to a deep, trusting relationship with Him. One that can only be achieved through intentional pursuit. And no, God has already done His part in the relationship. It's up to us to decide if we want to participate in what He is offering. Now, I'm going to apologize for talking as much as I am about Amy this morning, but I can't help but think about my relationship with her because there's no one else in this world that I'm as close to. We've been together 33 years. And as I've already said, when we first got together, I had no idea what I was stepping into, and nor did she. But if I've learned anything, it's that our relationship takes continued nurturing. It takes intentional pursuit. It takes us spending quality time together, sharing with one another, even telling one another that you're annoying or you're disappointing, right? Now, our relationship with God isn't annoying. At least we never are annoying to him, but he may be annoying to us at times. It's very similar, right? But in order to be in an intimate relationship with him, we must have intentional pursuit. We must spend quality time with him. We must share with him and realize he's already shared with us. You open this book of 66 other books. This is his letter to us. This is him sharing with us what he wants for our lives. You know, the truth is, like any relationship, our relationship with God will never be perfect this side of heaven. There may be times when you get frustrated or mad at God. And I guarantee you, there will be times when you disappoint him. But I can also tell you, you're not the first to do so. If you read his word, you're going to read about Moses, who got mad at God in Exodus as he was leading the Israelites through the desert because he was not happy with where he was at. Job became frustrated when he was going through a very difficult period in his life. Jonah got angry when God asked him to go speak to the Ninevites. And he even got angrier when the plant that God had provided for shade withered up and died. Then I think about Peter. How disappointing it must have been for Jesus, one of his dearest friends, to deny even knowing him as Jesus was being arrested and was entering the most difficult time in his earthly life. The good thing is, God is patient. He's understanding. He's forgiving. In each of these cases, God has done nothing wrong. But Moses, Job, Jonah, and Peter had each lost sight of who God was, what his purpose is, and how God was moving in their lives. In almost every one of these situations, though, we know that God moved to restore the relationship. Jonah's the only one where we are left questioning how it turned out, but I'm confident even there that Jonah was restored to God. Does any of that sound familiar? Do you ever get angry with God because of something we're dealing with in our lives? It's very human of us, very natural. But I'll tell you something. These trials that we face, these struggles, these tribulations, they grow us. They shape us. I want to go back to verse 2. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Jesus is the vine. God is the vine dresser, right? Two very different roles. Jesus is the one who we're connected to stay with, to be connected to. And God is the one who allows us to be pruned. He actually does the pruning. He is the one shaping us so that we may grow. Think about what happens when a vine is actually pruned. So when a vine starts to grow, it starts with the roots, right? And as it grows, that root system grows. But then when you go in and snip away the dead parts, you snip away the parts that are unhealthy or that are growing in ways that you don't want it to, and you prune it, what happens? That root system is still just as big and as strong as it's ever been, but now it has less of a vine to provide nutrients to. So what happens? The vine grows even more and more. Have you ever pruned a bush and seen what happens when you trim it back? It seems to grow back twice as fast, right? That is what Jesus is referring to. This is what God is doing in our lives when we deal with adversity. He's shaping us. He's growing us. He's removing the dead parts of our life so that we can provide more fruit. And remember, though, we cannot do this on our own. As stated in verse 4, the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Now, this brings me back to our core value. See here where it says, we will be prayerfully seeking his empowerment and direction. This is absolutely critical, right? But how do we do this? How do we prayerfully seek his empowerment and direction? We can't just know of him. We can't just visit him on Sundays or call on him only when we need something. I mean, think about it. Do you really grow any relationship in just giving them the leftovers? Spending one day a week with them or not really being transparent with them? It must go deeper. Seeking his empowerment and direction is through abiding in Christ. It is in remaining connected to him, to have a regular daily relationship with him. Remember, what does abide mean? To remain, stay, or reside in Christ. So just like any relationship, what does a relationship begin with? A conversation, right? How do we do that with God? We pray. Prayer is how we do this. The difficult part is thinking, but it's a one-way conversation. I'm not hearing anything back. I can appreciate that. But I can also tell you, everything you need to hear has been written out for you. It's in those 66 letters. It's in the Old and New Testaments, from Genesis to Revelation, from the words in the beginning to the very last word, amen. God has spoken to you through his word. As Pastor Paul shared last week with us, he described, when talking about biblical authority in 2 Timothy, he read to us and said, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. These words are actual words from God, our Creator. God is the one stating that Scripture is here so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, we are doing this. It's a core value of ours, pursuing intimacy with God, because we're called to do this. We're called to do this so we may be more like Christ, so we may reflect his character and priorities. Now go back to John chapter 15. In verse 8 it says, by this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You see, by abiding in Christ, there are so many positive outcomes. First and foremost, we're bringing glory to our Father in heaven. Our Creator, the very one who decided to bring you into this world. That is what we are created for. Secondly, by doing so, we receive true joy. Not empty worldly happiness, not something that's going to fade as we face our next trial, but true joy founded in true hope. Really the only type of hope that matters in this broken, floundering world. This joy, is the type of joy that can be present in spite of life's difficulties or disappointments. This joy is not dependent on any one person, not on your spouse, your children, your boss, or your president. This joy is one that is appealing to those around you because it shows that you're different. It shows that you don't rely on earthly things to bring you happiness or satisfaction. There is no other joy in this world that can do that for us. And lastly, by abiding in Christ, we bear fruit when we're connected to our heavenly vine. Now, I think we all understand this isn't the type of fruit that we eat, right? Nor is it the type that comes with bling or dollar signs. This fruit is something much greater. You see, when we have an intimate personal relationship with God, one where we abide in Him, where we share our hearts with Him and seek to understand His word, His direction for our lives, it's only natural that there will be fruit. Another way to say it is there will be evidence. The Apostle Paul spells it out this way in his letter to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires." This is the fruit that Jesus is referring to when he says, "Every branch that does not bear fruit, or that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear even more fruit." When we abide in Christ, it's only natural that we have the evidence of a personal relationship with Jesus. Evidence that is shown through our love, our joy, our peace and patience, our kindness, our goodness, our faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you know what's even more amazing? This fruit will be present even in times of trial, even when you're dealing with people who drive you bonkers, right? When you're dealing with bosses who are unreasonable. Maybe you're dealing with kids who are driving you up a wall. Maybe a spouse who's driving you up the wall. Or circumstances that are just plain hard. I want to ask you two questions. First, is this appealing to you? Would you like to have that fruit in your life? If you're not a follower of Christ, I want to encourage you. Make a decision. Pursue Him, and I guarantee you, you'll be rewarded. Now, the second question, though, if you have made a decision, how much fruit, how much evidence of Christ is in your daily life? How much fruit is evident in how you treat others? How you respond to those that God has brought into your life? I can tell you this. This fruit will be in direct correlation to your relationship with Christ. You cannot have one without the other. Now, when we say, as a church, that we want to become more like Christ, this is exactly what we're talking about. As I stated earlier, though, no one can do it for you. No pastor, no life group leader, no spouse or friend can make you have a deeper relationship, an intimate relationship with Christ. Now, each one of these people may be able to assist you. They may be able to help you in growing your relationship with our Father. But ultimately, it's up to you. I want you to think of it this way as well. Being connected in the body is essential. Joining a life group, participating in a discipleship group, even coming on Sunday mornings to fellowship and have conversations with others in the body. Each of these play an important role in your Christian walk. I want you to think of them more as like fertilizer. Now, the truth is, what's the deal with fertilizer? Kind of stinks sometimes, right? It's not very pleasant at times. But it's so beneficial. It is so incredibly beneficial. If you're missing out on these, you're missing out on important nutrients to your spiritual life. The book of Hebrews directs us to not stop meeting together as the habit of some. It's because Christian fellowship, Christian relationships are essential to walking in a healthy relationship with our Creator. But ultimately, you can do all that and still not have a personal, intimate relationship with God. So what can you do? First, as I've already mentioned, if you haven't made a decision for Christ, do so. Second, take the necessary steps to grow in your relationship with Him. Spend time with Him, quality time. Don't give Him the leftovers. When you do that, read His Word. Dig into it. And don't just ingest it, but digest it. Seek understanding. You can read the Word 100 times and not ever take the opportunity to really fully understand it. The other beauty is you can read it 100 times and each time understand a little bit better about who God is and what He wants for your life. The other thing, you want to talk to God about it. If you need help in understanding His Word, ask Him for that. I guarantee you He will provide better understanding. And then you need to apply His Word to your life. All those things are essential. And lastly, don't do it alone. Don't think that you can just go into His Word and fully grasp it without sharing it with someone around you. Leverage those relationships. In those relationships, challenge one another. Encourage one another. Hold one another accountable. I mean, D groups, what we offer here at New Life, is a tremendous opportunity for that very thing to occur. I want to encourage you to get plugged in if you haven't. Now, over the last 33 years, my life with my wife has continued to grow. Our relationship has become better and closer, mainly because of what we've gone through, the trials and tribulations. We really don't grow in the easy times, do we? It is the trials in life, the fires that have made us stronger together. And the same thing can happen in our relationship with God. As I've spent more time in His Word, more time communicating with Him, the closer I've drawn to Him. I've also become much more appreciative of His Word as I've sought to understand it better and better. I've also grown in my appreciation for who God is. I've become much more trusting of Him in my life, in the good times and the bad. But I'll be honest, it's been a process. If you knew me 30 years ago, I attended small group. I was in a church, but I really didn't have a relationship with God. I think in here I've shared about the birth of my daughter, Faith, 30 years ago, how my wife almost passed away. Amy's heart stopped 3 times on that day. I was not yet in a fruitful relationship with my Savior, and it showed. I was all alone. And it was not good, I'll tell you that. The thing was, I had good, solid Christians all around me, but I myself was not in a relationship with God. Now, fast forward to 20 years ago, I was just beginning to pursue a true relationship with Him. I mean, honestly, that's what allowed us to come to Ohio as we were seeking His understanding for our lives. It's why we got connected here at New Life, and it's been a blessing ever since. 10 years ago, I was still fumbling through it. doing better, but still needing and wanting to grow more. The truth is, it takes time. Today, it's still something that I'm working at. I know that I have to be intentional with him. It will not just happen on its own. And I have definitely not arrived. But I don't want you to be discouraged if you feel like your relationship with God has not been successful thus far. I want to encourage you to take the time to intentionally pursue him. I want to go back to John one more time. Because I read through this the first time, but I don't want to just leave it there and not address it. It says in verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." There are consequences. There is a reality here for not pursuing a relationship with our Creator. We've been warned very clearly. And the thing is, we can't fake it. We can come to church. We can be in life group. We can be in D group. We can even read his word. But if it's not a true intimate relationship with him, you're only fooling yourself. For God knows us better than anyone. He knows when it's real. The good news is, though, he desires a relationship with us. He desires us to pursue him. That is what we are created for. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge all of us. What are you doing to grow in your relationship with God? You know, as Pastor Paul mentioned last week, when we talked about biblical authority, he said something that was very simple. Just do something. Start with 5 minutes if you need to. But don't be satisfied with just knowing of God. It is so very worth the effort. Like any relationship, any true, deep relationship, it takes two things to be successful. It takes time, and it takes intentional pursuit. Now, I want to give you one last analogy as I wrap up. When I speak to people who are considering buying a home, they always ask me, is now a good time? Usually what I tell them is, well, a good time was 10 years ago, right? I mean, think about it. If you'd purchased a home 10 years ago, how much equity would you have today? You'd be doing all right, right? Second best time is today. It really is, because every day that goes by, you're losing out. Well, we're not talking about buying a home. We're talking about our relationship with our Creator. Our Creator. The best time would have been 10 years ago, would have been 20 years ago, right? The second best time is today. And I can tell you this, the equity you'll be building far eclipses anything in your bank account. It is worth so much more. Now, I also know that there's plenty of excuses and distractions in this world. I've seen them all. I've given them all. Get over it. Pursue him. He will not let you down. I guarantee you, you will reap fruit unlike anything else you have ever seen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we're lost without you. Our lives, our meaning, our purpose without you, Lord, is all just a sham. We need you in our lives. We need a personal, intimate relationship with you. And the thing I am so thankful for, Lord, is that you allow the Spirit into our hearts to help us in developing that relationship. So guide us, Father. Open us up to what it means to be deeper and deeper in relationship with you. You sent your son to the cross on our behalf, Lord. I want to honor you by thanking you deeply and just giving you all glory and honor. For it's in his beautiful name we pray. Amen.